Welcome to Conversations with Leaders on Tremendous Life Radio, providing some of today's most influential and inspiring leaders a platform to share their stories of growing up, what happened, and what they're doing today. Now, here's your host, Todd Weaver.
Welcome, everybody, to Tremendous Life Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's really a great honor and pleasure to welcome our guest tonight, Mr. Ricky Powell. Ricky is a veteran of the entertainment industry. He lectures and writes on the topic of lifelong happiness. He's the creator of the Lifelong Happiness 30-Day Challenge. He's a speaker and an author. His latest book, Happiness Rocks, is available now. Ricky, thank you for joining Tremendous Life Radio. I want to ask you, Ricky, take us back. What was that like? How was your, even at a young age, how was your ego? Did you know what was going on? Did you, were you strutting around as a 7-year-old or how'd that go?
You know, thank you for asking that. That's a great question. I really did not do that. I think I was precocious, but I never really had that ego. And I have to say, even to this day, I think we're going to get, more into this and what I'm doing now and the whole happiness thing that I've gotten into. But, I've always been a very big believer in humility and being humble and not having an ego, which is sort of the irony of my being in the business for over 40 years at this point. Because as we know, it can tend to the entertainment industry can tend to have a lot of, big egos attached to it. But to me, no one person is better than another. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest star on the planet or, someone in a third world country. I mean, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And so I just loved it. I just had a great time. I enjoyed it. There definitely was some challenges because, of course, there's also a lot of rejection as an actor and as really anyone in the creative mm-hmm. community. You have to deal with rejection and things like that. But it was awesome training for the corporate world and then getting behind the camera, which is what I did after. When things started slowing down, I moved behind the camera and began working at a production company on shows like Golden Girls and Empty Nest and Blossom and all those fun shows for the first 5 years after college, and then transitioned to NBC, where I spent the past 25 years putting every show on the network. And, as you can imagine, I dealt with quite a few personalities that realm.
And I appreciate your candor. I asked that question not to kind of trip you up or catch you off guard, but it interests me maybe the nurturing you were getting at home, the imprinting, the early, those early lessons mm-hmm. that we learn when we're finding ourselves. It sounds like you got a lot of nurturing from your mother. I didn't ask you, were you an only child? Did you have siblings and rivalry? What was that like?
Well, another interesting question. If I can take a step back for 1 second, one of my private mentors was Jim Rohn, who was Tony Robbins' mentor. And I quote him all the time. And one of my favorite quotes is, "Your personal philosophy is the greatest determining factor in how life works out for you." Mm-hmm. And mine has always been no coincidences, right? I think, everything happens for a reason, good or bad. And just the mere fact that I'm here was a result of a drunk driving accident. Mm-hmm. So let me explain. My mom got married for the first time when she was 17 years old. And she had two kids with her first husband. That's my half brother and sister. And her first husband was very abusive. She ended up leaving him shortly after they were married. And then my dad was her dry cleaner. And that's how they met. Now, my dad had been married twice before he met my mom, but he could never have kids. There was something physically blocking him so that he was not able physically to have children. Well, they had been together for about 8 years, and one Memorial Day, they were on their way to a barbecue, and they got broadsided by a drunk driver. And a horrible accident. I mean, my dad broke his arm. He broke, I think, 6 ribs, spent many, many weeks recovering from that. And then, lo and behold, several months later, they went to the doctor, and he looked at my mom and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're pregnant. So that accident actually knocked something loose in him, and there I was. So I was an only child by my father, but I did have a half-brother and sister. And my half-brother, you know, he had some challenges. He ended up running away from home when I was you know, just 4 years old. And that was one of the first really tough things that I had to go through as a child. But my sister and I were very, very close. And she's 11 years older than I am. And she really was like a second mom to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I was growing up, yeah, we were very close.
You know, it's interesting. I hear a lot of things on this show. I haven't heard a story exactly like that, Ricky. That's really, it's cool. Like when, you know, just to even talk about that, looking back on those things and how, you know, how those, you know, when we're growing up, I'm guessing it's like that for you as well. But when we're growing up, we don't really know, you know, the influences and what's really impacting us until through grace, we get a chance to kind of look back and see how those things played out. You know, so I never heard anybody say they're the result of a drunk driving accident.
I got to tell you, Todd, to this day, I don't think I've met anyone else who was the result of a drunk driving accident. But I'm sure there's got to be one or two out there, right? Who knows?
Yeah, that story could be a television show on NBC, I think, in some aspects, right? You could get a sitcom together.
Exactly. But to your earlier question too, yeah, my mom was a huge influence on me, and she really was my biggest fan. And I grew up with so much support and love at home. And I, you know, I really believe that really led me to who I am today. And I'm grateful for every moment that I had, with my mom and dad.
Nice. What about, growing up? It was in California, correct? Is that where, did you say that's where you grew up?
Right. Exactly.
What was that like, you know, as a young actor, maybe even some, you know, some times as young people were kind of cruel almost or pick on people and those kind of things. How was that for you, say, going through junior high school and high school? How, I mean, were you pretty right with yourself back then?
I was. And again, I was kind of more on the other side of the coin. So rather than walking around with that ego, you know, sometimes I would be the one to get picked on. I dealt with a sort of a classroom school bully for several years when I was in elementary school, and who kind of had it out for me. And so I always relied on my humor to get me through it, and you know, my communication skills and all of that really kind of helped save me and get me through that sort of part of things. And then too, you know, you deal with jealousy also. So there were kids who were jealous, you know, that I was on TV and things like that. But I also did, you know, I did also have kind of a core group of friends, and I've always been a people person from very, you know, very early on. So I just kind of enjoyed, you know, making friends with many different types of people. And I was definitely born without the sports gene. So, you know, I never had that going for me. I was always more the performer. And even today, it's so interesting how those genes kind of follow you. And I have a 19-year-old daughter who takes kind of more after my wife, and my son definitely takes more after me. And so he also was kind of, you know, born without the sports gene, but much more the performer. And so he's in choir as I was, you know, in school, and loves performing. And it's interesting, those family dynamics.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze us. That's why I love listening to people's stories, Ricky. That and you said now you went on to the entertainment field after college. I mean, did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up, or how did that go? Say when you were choosing, what do you do when you get out of high school? What did you pursue?
Well, you know, what's interesting was coming out of high school, my career, my acting career had started slowing down the older I got. And so I worked a lot from about seven, the age of seven, until about 15 or so. I was pretty busy doing lots of shows and commercials. And I did the last couple of things I did, I had two small parts in two movies. I had one line in the movie Airplane 2, which was a lot of fun. And I was also in the first couple of scenes of a movie called Losing It, which was Tom Cruise's second movie with Jackie Earle Haley and Shelley Long. But things did start slowing down. And so I right away started thinking, well, what's my plan B? You know, what if it doesn't start picking up? And so when I hit college, I transferred from theater to radio, TV, film as a major. And then I also went to school with a guy named Michael Lawrence, who became my best friend in high school. And then we went to college together. We both switched majors from theater to radio, TV, film. And as soon as we graduated, Michael got a job at this production company, you know, the one that I had mentioned, working in Golden Girls and It's a Living and Empty Nest and all those shows. 6 weeks after he was there, he called me. I was at home with 102 fever, no voice. And he said, Ricky, this is your big chance. They need a post runner to take the tapes around to all the sessions. And even though I was sick as a dog, he said, it doesn't matter, call anyway. And I did. And I was essentially hired on the spot because Michael was my friend. And so then we started working together there, and spent 5 years working my way up there, getting the Directors Guild and became post-production manager. And so when I started, I was delivering the shows to NBC as a runner each week. And by the time I was done, I was post-manager viewing the shows as a client. And that's how I got to know them and eventually made the transition to NBC full-time.
Now, what about... I want to get the thanks for everything and bringing us kind of up to speed. And, you know, sometimes we ask about, it's interesting for our listeners, I think, as well. Sometimes maybe some people think that people were just born into this happiness or success or this lovely life. And, you know, oftentimes guests that, like yourself, they met some challenges as well along the way. And sometimes asking those questions and what you did to work through those is very valuable information for people. I don't know about, were there many challenges for you, say, in those post-college years as you're working your way up through, I guess the term is through the ranks? Were there any personal challenges?
Absolutely. In fact, really the two biggest ones that sort of shifted my whole consciousness and focus when I was at that production company that my friend helped me get into, we were, you know, life, it was almost like life couldn't get any better. I mean, I'm literally living my second dream now behind the camera at an awesome production company, working with my best friend. Like, how could it get any better? And what happened was 6 months after we began working together, it was February 5th, 1986. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And one morning I was at Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. And I got a call from the lady who hired me, and she said, Ricky, I have bad news. And of course, I'm expecting you're fired. What else could it be from the lady who hires you? And what she said was, Michael had a heart attack this morning and died. And we were both 23 years old, Todd.
Wow.
And so, you know, and this kid, I mean, he never took a drug in his life, didn't smoke. He was an athlete, and he would give you the shirt off his back. Yeah. And had many times. And I'm just thinking like, oh my God, are you kidding? I mean, in that instant, I just realized how precious every second is. And, you know, that we have to live every moment as if it's our last, because time is truly our most valuable asset. And so that was the most major devastating thing that had ever happened. And then, you know, coming back from that, after then making the reason I left that production company is just because the stress level had gotten so high, and the demands that were so, you know, the demand had just surpassed any level of realism for me. And so I said, you know what, unless you want to come to my funeral, I think it's really time that I leave. And I did. And then I made my way to NBC. And then ironically, my first 9 years at that company were quite challenging because of this particular gentleman I was working with. He was a coworker. And so it was so challenging that really in an effort to help him, as well as help myself get through it, I picked up my first book on the subject of happiness. And of course, he wanted nothing to do with it because, you know, I think we all know those people. There are some people out there that just, you know, they prefer the drama and they thrive on it, or the victim mindset or being a bully or whatever it is. But I got so fascinated with the subject, I took it and ran with it. And I ended up reading every book I could on the subject. I went to listen to every program. And I just found it so fascinating that I wrote my own book called Happiness Rocks. I started speaking on positive psychology and the science of happiness. And I got to tell you, it was the best thing I had ever done.
Hmm. Yeah, it's funny that something happens, not funny like humorous, but that it's typically in our stories, and I listen to a lot of them and I have my own, but there's a catalyst usually that seems exceptionally bad or tragic that leads us into mm-hmm. a different direction, you know. And even in your story, I heard it very clearly there. And even in your consummation, you know, what seemed as a very tragic accident happened to bring mm-hmm. your life about. So it's wild at the moment, you know, we don't know the value of some of those things. And I just heard you describe that.
Right.
Now, you said that was 23 at the time. You're not 23 anymore. So you've been studying happiness for a long time. Is that right?
I have. Yeah, it's been years. And I've just been so fascinated always with personal development. In fact, I remember the first time I saw Tony Robbins and his infomercial for Personal Power. It was probably around like 1985, 1986. And I was house sitting for the producer of The Golden Girls, and it was 2 a.m. and I'm watching, and there he is. And I'm just watching this material and I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy is a genius, because it doesn't matter what problem you have, he has the answer. And, you know, I thought, I want to be that guy, you know, yeah. I want to be able to help everyone. And in 1999, I came up with a concept for a whole cable network devoted to personal development. And I cut together a video of what the content could look like, and I pitched it at NBC. And, you know, as you can imagine, it was way ahead of its time. It was, you know, way before the, you know, OWN or any of that. And as you can imagine, it's just, you know, back then, launching a cable channel was one of the most expensive things you could try to do. And so that's when I just thought, you know, what can I do on my own where I don't have to depend on anyone else? And that's when I came up with the concept for my first website, which was ichoosehappiness.com, about how happiness is a choice you can make regardless of your outer circumstances. And now that's morphed into lifelong happiness. And, you know, I'm about to give that whole website an overhaul. Soon I'm going to be launching, a mastermind program, a virtual mastermind program to bring people together and, you know, help people both personally and professionally. I mean, I've been doing this one-on-one and in small groups for quite a while, but, you know, my goal and my dream really is to help people understand that there's so much we can do just in making a shift in our mindset. And, you know, we all know, life is not all a bowl of cherries. Of course, we all have our challenges and our, you know, our pain and all of that. But it's so much, you know, not a part of what happens as much as how we respond to it.
Yeah, well, take us through that a little bit. And nice segue. And thank you so much so far. To me, it seemed, and you've probably been asked this hundreds, if not thousands of times, but is there really, what is happiness? And isn't it, this is a dual question, but isn't it more of a byproduct of our own self-talk and our own really principles, the way we live, or take us.
Right.
Start at the beginning. I mean, yeah, start at the beginning. Yeah, what is happiness?
I think that, you know, we all have our own definition of happiness. Certainly we can, you know, you can look it up or whatever, but I think there are as many ways to happiness as there are people on the planet, because I think it's different for each of us. So what's truly important, I think, is understanding that it isn't a destination. You know, it really is about enjoying the journey and the process and appreciating not just the big things in life, but it's being grateful for the little things as well. You know, from waking up in the morning to, you know, just appreciating the, you know, every flower and the blue sky or the, no matter what it is, you know, just taking in a deep breath and feeling the air fill your lungs and just, I mean, it may sound crazy, but every one of those things is such a gift. And, you know, I think it's just the things that happen to us along the way. For instance, in 2007, I found out that I had walked around for 2 weeks with a ruptured appendix. I woke up one morning and was so violently ill and ended up getting rushed to the hospital, to the ER, and they just chalked it up as food poisoning, and they sent me home, and, you know, it took me 3 days to recover from how ill I was, but then I went back to work, and I was back to my exercise routine, just with this dull pain, you know, in my lower right side, and then went back to the clinic, and they examined me, and again, found nothing, sent me home, went another week, and then finally I went back and said, isn't there any test you can give me or something? Well, they did. And sure enough, they said, we have to admit you immediately. You have a ruptured appendix. Yeah. And I spent 6 days in the hospital, you know, with a drain. And when I came home, I was just so grateful to still be alive, you know, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people tend to forget day to day just what a blessing it is to even be here, you know, and what a gift. And so that's what I help people do, is really understand and be grateful for what they already have in their lives. Because what I explain, you know, from stage or with my clients is, you know, I raise the question, how many of you have ever played the I'll be happy when game? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I mean by that is a lot of people go through life thinking, I'll be happy when I drive a better car or live in a bigger house or, you know, get a better job or find my soulmate or have my first child or my second child or my last child leaves home, for that matter. You know, there's so many excuses we give ourselves not to be happy right now. And at the end of the day, that's all we have. All we have is this moment. Mm-hmm. So it's huge. I mean, this mindset that, you know, we're talking about really is everything.
Well, and thank you. It seems to me that it is really a mindset. It is a choice. You just said it, that trap about when and if. It seems like it's almost in our nature, as subtle as it may seem, that we kind of give our power away all the time and place it on outside circumstances or things or other people, when, like you're bringing us back to, really, it's within us to, you know, experience happiness right here, right now, correct?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the giving away your power thing, because that is another key component, is accepting responsibility. Hmm. You know, it's huge, and not playing the blame game. So in other words, we are in our lives right now exactly where we're supposed to be because of all of the choices that we've made up to this point, right? And mm-hmm. so if we're not where we yet want to be, there's only one person to blame for that. And you got to look in the mirror and own up to the fact that, you know, when you try to place blame, you know, when you point your finger, you might have heard this, you know, when you point your finger at someone else, three fingers are pointed back mm-hmm. at you. Believe me, I've had experiences in my life where I've placed my trust 100% in someone or, you know, whatever the case may be, I always come back to knowing that it was me. You know, if I allowed this to happen, then it's on me. It's like, so to that point, I'm a lifelong learner. I learn something new every single day. I'm on a never ending quest to improve and get better each day. I also want to help other people get better every day. So taking and accepting responsibility, I think, is huge also, you know.
Yeah, well, and thank you for that, Ricky. Is it your experience working with other clients in small groups or large groups that, you know, when we first come to really get our arms around that concept, it seems like a double-edged sword sometimes for people, like to start to awake and really realize that, you know, I'm the one. It's all inside of me. And it seems at first like that's almost like a curse, until I can see that it's really very empowering to, and then take responsibility for my own happiness. You know, at first I'm thinking, no, it can't be me, but I'm the only one that keeps showing up. I'm the only one there all the time in my life. So, you know, do you find that with some of your clients? Like you may get some pushback at first when people start to realize that, oh my gosh, you mean I'm responsible for this?
Absolutely, Todd. And you know what, to your point though, it is, once you stop and really think about it, it is hugely empowering, because really that is the only way that you can make your life as magnificent as it is meant to be, is because it is all up to you. We've all heard the expression, knowledge is power, right? But truly, it isn't just knowledge. Knowledge is, of course, very important. But really, it's knowledge plus action that equals power. Because how many of us know things that we should be doing that we don't do, or vice versa, things we maybe shouldn't be doing that we are doing, that may not be good for us? And it's all in that power. It's having the knowledge, taking action on it, and then getting the results that you want in life. So,
do you find, Ricky, that, you know, kind of taking responsibility, awakening, hitting a brick wall, whatever it takes to kind of wake us up or shake us around a little bit and look in a different direction? Do you find that once you begin to kind of take ownership of those things, and also with your clients, that it's almost like a snowball effect, that it grows and it starts really becoming, building its own momentum, and it becomes not easier, let's say, but it's more of a desired result? Do you find that? Have you found that with yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, everything is energy. And it starts with our thoughts. So really, you know, what we think about expands, and you tend to become what you think about. And that's why all of this is so important, because, and this really did turn out to be, kind of the irony of what was going on with my day job, is that, you know, I was putting every show on the air when I was thinking, you know, when I would put some of these, you know, horrible, violent shows or whatever on the air, I'm thinking, how is this helping society? And I knew the answer. I think that in a lot of ways, a lot of this programming is really hurting society. And so finally, I had the opportunity to show up, because truly, I believe that I was manifesting it for several years. And finally, last October, the opportunity came where I could try and, you know, figure out a way to stay where I was or move forward and now live out this whole next chapter of my life that I just feel is so empowering and will help empower others. And so, for instance, I was aligned with now a lady who's become such a dear friend. I mean, she's almost like the sister I never had. And she owns a company called Smile TV. And, you know, how much better does it get than that? I mean, Smile TV. And the name says it all. It's an all positive programming platform. And it's about to get a whole revitalization on it of its own. And just, there's going to be huge opportunities for business owners and entrepreneurs to have everything from their own online TV network, or if they like, they can have a channel on our network, or they can just simply have a show on our channel. But the whole idea is to empower people and help really empower and enlighten the world going forward. Because there are so many incredible stories out there. You know, I'm sure you I'm sure you're interviewing people all the time with, you know, these amazing stories. And now, you know, it'll help give people an opportunity to not only have a platform to share their stories and really shed light on all the amazing things they're doing. It'll actually be monetized with ads where people can actually share their stories and, you know, earn a living at the same time. So that's a pretty awesome combination.
Yeah. Well, and thanks about, I didn't know you were going to mention that. Where, how can people, find out more about Smile TV?
Well, people are absolutely welcome to email me. They can get me at Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, P, for Powell. So Ricky P at smiletvgroup.com. So that's my Smile TV email address. And then they can also get me at Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, at lifelonghappiness.com as well. Nice. And I'm happy to help in any way I can, whether it's, you know, personal, professional. I definitely know my purpose in life now. And I just enjoy helping others discover that purpose and passion as well.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice, Ricky. And that's wild. You just said the word purpose. I was looking here at my whiteboard and, you know, I see on here, we got success and purpose and joy. And I wanted to ask you about that, because when you just described making that decision in October, that has to be I would guess that that's a challenging decision, you know, to make a shift like that in your life, really a grand shift. You knew you had a purpose. Is that right? I mean, you're in tune with yourself enough that you knew no matter what, you know, on the scale, you knew you had to do what you had to do, right?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, we all love living in our comfort zones. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is all the magic happens one step outside of your comfort zone. And so that's why it's just so important to push beyond that comfort zone so that you can continue growing. Another quote that I share all the time is from Mark Twain, who said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So it came to you a little later on, but it sounds like your whole journey comes full circle, like a lot of stories do, you know. And I mean, not that the circles, you're not to the end of that circle, or if that even makes sense, but you know, that you can see now looking back, or help me if I'm, or correct me if I'm wrong, but you looking back, you can see where different instances and events in your life help shape you and direct your purpose today. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it all goes back to, you know, no coincidences, which is very easy to say when good things happen. It's much harder to say when painful or tragic things happen, such as losing my friend at 23, or, you know, I mean, I even just lost another friend a few months back who was at 49. And the list goes on and on. I've lost so many loved ones of my mom way too early, 14 years ago. And when I heard that my friend had died that day when I was 23, I remember screaming down Sunset Boulevard on my way to their house, screaming, "Why him? Why not me?"
Yeah,
because I felt like I should have been dead 100 times from, you know, silly things that I might have tried or done in high school. And here was this perfect angel who was just gone. And again, it all comes back to that philosophy. And I think, you know, he lived such a full, rich, wonderful life while he was here. And it all goes back to your philosophy. And you know, my mom and I used to have these discussions of what happens to us after, after this life. And she thought, you know, she always would say, "I think this is it. I think we live here and then we're done. You know, it's over." Mm-hmm. And to me, that never made sense, because if energy is neither created nor destroyed, it has to go somewhere. And, you know, how many, we all have these quote coincidences that we have experienced and seen so often throughout our lives. And again, to me, these they're not coincidences. I really truly believe that there's a reason for all of this. And so that's one of the reasons I think I'm still here, is because I'm not, you know, this, I'm still doing this work. I mean, I have so many more people to reach. And I think just at the end of the day, happy people make the world better. You know, there's a lot of people I think who can really help make this place a just a better, happier, more positive experience for the rest of us.
Well, and thank you for that. I want to get to the lifelong happiness and the 30-day challenge, but I want to ask you, because, I mean, let's face it, happiness is kind of attractive, you know, so, or at least the sense in it in others, you know, living your message, really living with the principles. So it's not a matter of influence as much as, well, I guess it is, but it's the attraction piece that keeps people interested in. I don't know about all that, but what's going on here with this guy? That's what I want to know about. And there's sometimes, for me at least, that comes with almost no words spoken at all. Do you find that for yourself?
I really do. And I got to say, I mean, that's why I say it's the best thing I've ever done, because I consider myself so blessed, because whether I'm on stage or in a session or on a conference call or whatever it may be, I find that people will kind of point and say, I want that, you know, like I'll have what he's having or whatever that is. And the good news is, you know, you can take me home. I mean, you know, just put me in a bottle or in your pocket. I'm happy to go. It's like that message. It is very contagious. In fact, another good friend of mine, David Messapel, wrote a book called Contagious Optimism. And then he produced a live event with Smile TV called Contagious Optimism Live, where I was very blessed to be one of their featured speakers. And it's all about how optimism is contagious, and at the same time, so is happiness. And so you look at all of this great stuff that's contagious. Well, on the flip side, you know, guess what? All of that negativity, the toxicity, all of that stuff can be contagious as well. And that's why it is so important for people to focus on what they want, not what they don't want. And hey, many times that's a trap.
Yeah. Well, hey, and thanks for that. I want to get to the lifelonghappiness.com is where they can find out about everything that you're doing about happiness and Happiness Rocks, but also the 30-day challenge. And I want to mention that even the word challenge, as contagious or kind of the power of example of happiness, once we find out that we might have to do something, that some people kind of say, well, wait a minute, I didn't know about all that. I think that's part of our society and the imprinting as well. But the challenge is just that word. You challenge us there. You challenge us to really start, well, and you take us through it, but it's to pay attention to our thinking, that negative self-talk, the gossiping, the complaining. What we do if I sign up there and day one of the challenge, take us through some of that.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, this is something that I picked up from a wonderful man named Reverend Will Bowen, who I found, he wrote a book called A Complaint-Free World. And I just thought this is so phenomenal. And I kind of took his challenge and tweaked it a little. And so my 30-day challenge is, you pick a wrist, you put the bracelet on, and you need to go 30 days without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping. And of course, you know, for most of us, that is quite a challenge to go 30 days in a row without doing any of that. Where I tweaked mine a little is, if you catch yourself doing any of those things, rather than having to start the whole 30 days over again, you can save yourself by performing a random act of kindness within 5 minutes of catching yourself. So, you know, and that random act of kindness can be anything from, you know, holding a door open for someone to just smiling at a stranger walking down the street, or, you know, handing someone a dollar bill, or, you know, there's so many forms that random act of kindness can take. But it, again, it's just, it's getting into that right mindset. And then to finish it off, you also need to write down three things that you're grateful for every day. Hmm. And, that can either be online or just in your own journal, but you've got to write down three things that you're grateful for every single day also for the 30 days. And so doing this challenge, I mean, I had a coaching client who went through this. He picked himself up a bracelet and one for his son, who was, I think, 15 at the time. And it was just, it was life changing for him because it just changed his entire mindset to focus on, you know, those positive things and eliminating the negative.
It's powerful for myself, and it's always challenging, and that is the correct word, you know, mm-hmm. because it's until I really start taking ownership of my thinking and really discipline it, I never realized how much we go to the negative. You know, Shad Helmstetter wrote the book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, and, you know, that negative self-talk. And there's some numbers mathematically, it's some outrageous number of 99,000 thoughts a minute, and, like, you know, 98% of them are negative. So exactly. Within that, don't hold me to those numbers. But the point is that until I realize that and I'm not satisfied with that anymore, nothing really changes. So then even a 30-day challenge like yourself, or even just taking the action of getting that wristband, probably is life changing. I mean, really, literally, it's just that in itself breaks that cycle.
It truly can be. And and to your point of the stats too. I know exactly the one you're talking about too, because I used to use it all the time in my presentation. And another one that I just learned is each day, something like, I don't know, 90 to 95% of the thoughts that we have, I think it's 65,000. I want to say, like, maybe we each have 65,000 thoughts per day. And of those, I think, you know, up to 85% of them are negative. And then the rest of that now is that each day, something like 90% of the thoughts that we have are the same thoughts we had yesterday. And that's why this gets so powerful, because if you can change those thoughts to those of gratitude and forgiveness and serving others, and this whole other dynamic way of thinking, if you start thinking those thoughts each day, you will be amazed at how your life can transform. And even if you are going through certain challenges, whether they be, you know, health or financial or whatever they may be, still, you can kind of pick yourself up, you know, as they say in the song, dust yourself off and start over again. Every single day is a new opportunity to start anew and make it a great day. Hmm.
And Ricky, isn't that at first, at least for myself? And, you know, I mean, I have a long way to go and a lot of paying attention to continue to do. I have a lot of opportunity in my life, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, isn't that really where, when that shift happens and we really start to live that, you know, to the best of our abilities, the best our condition allows, minute by minute, day by day, we really do. That's where I believe the shift happens, where we become contagious. Almost the word we're tossing around these days is significant, you know, where we have that positive influence on other people, maybe even just by a look or the way we carry ourselves. And that's really what continues to add value and bring purpose in our lives. And then we're happy. That's the byproduct, or that's, we have joy in our life. And is that, am I onto something here?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're definitely onto something. And it, you know, I think it goes also into who you surround yourself with, the types of people. You know, they say that you tend to, your income tends to be the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You know, your attitude tends to be very similar to who you spend your time with. And that's what I've done over all these many years, is I've found an amazing, you know, core group of friends and people who all are of like minds. There are people on Facebook who I'm connected with. We have 600 or 700 or 800 mutual friends in common. And that common thread most times is mindset, is that we're all trying to make a difference. In fact, I'm in a mastermind group called Making a Difference. And right. It's all, you know, enlightened entrepreneurs coming together that want to help make the world a better place and make a difference. And it's just you can't help but to feel better when you're helping make the world a better place.
Hey, Ricky, thanks so far. What again, the best website is lifelonghappiness.com. They can reach you there. Now, you gave your emails. Give them again, would you please?
Absolutely. So again, right, Ricky@lifelonghappiness.com. Or also for anyone that wants to find out more about Smile TV. And again, we're helping entrepreneurs and business owners with everything from having their own online content to creating videos for them. So for people who are trying to attract more business, get more clients, we do fantastic website videos and sizzle reels and all of these things. So that email is RickyP@SmileTVGroup.com. And that website is SmileTVGroup.com. And just some fabulous things are right around the corner. I think our launch date is June 12th. Nice. For the whole new website and media platform.
Nice. What else? You have anything you want to reveal to us? Any project that's top secret that you want to just get out in the open on Tremendous Life Radio? Or where are you going to be in the near future? Or what do you got up your sleeve?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I'm going to be launching something called, well, I came up with this notion called Success Exponential. Many years ago, and really it's about growing your success exponentially. And so I'm creating something called the Success Exponential Mastermind Alliance. And that's going to be like a 1-year membership where we're going to get together virtually on a call. And again, I'll be able to break it out into breakout groups. So whether it's you know, personal issues, relationship related, or, you know, anger, forgiveness, you know, any sort of personal issues or professional. So if your business needs help, if you need help in marketing, or regardless of what your problem is, I'll be able to break people out to put people together so that we can all help one another get through those hurdles, solve the challenges, and brainstorm on ways to help get through it all. So that's going to be a huge mastermind program I've got coming up probably in the next month or so. So that's one thing around the corner. Let's see. You know, people can, oh, well, one other thing that I love offering people is if you do go to lifelonghappiness.com, there's a place to enter your name and email there. And I offer people something called my TGIT, Daily Dose of Inspiration. And that stands for Thank God It's Today, rather than Thank God It's Friday, of course. And that mindset is that, you know, many of us spend our time trying to rush through the week, celebrating Friday. And when we do that, we're throwing away the whole rest of the week. Yeah. You know, without acknowledging that every single day is such a precious gift. And so people can sign up for free and get just a daily dose of inspiration in their inbox first thing in the morning to just help you get in that right mindset to make it an awesome day. So that's also a great way to stay in touch, because that way, you know, I'll make sure to let everyone know as things become available or speaking engagements and things like that.
Hey, it's been a real joy. You made us happy, Ricky.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad to have been mission accomplished. And hey, listen, also, I'm always happy to help people with a strategy call. I also set up the website meetwithricky.com. And I'm happy to give your listeners, you know, a free strategy session. Anything I can do to help get you to the next level.
Well, it's been awesome. I mean, we appreciate all that. We appreciate your story, Ricky. We appreciate you, the happiness, the real purpose you're living, carrying around with you, and you're contagious as well. And I mean, we can hear it in your voice when you're telling your story. You're smiling. I can see you smiling through the microphone, you know. So it's been a real joy and a real honor. The website, lifelonghappiness.com. You can get a hold of Ricky through his emails. It's just been a real joy having you. It's really been a pleasure. All the best to you and Smile TV too.
Thank you so much, Todd. I really appreciate it. I'm so grateful that that we connected, and I'm here in the future. If I can help you in any way, I'd love to come back and do whatever I can for you. So thank you again. I really appreciate it.
And well, we appreciate it too. It's really been our pleasure, Ricky. Thank you so much, and have a great night, please.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Mr. Ricky Powell, lifelonghappiness.com. He's a heck of a guy. He's a happy guy. Somebody on social media got a hold of me and said, hey, you got to talk to this Ricky guy, man. He's just a real inspiration. And that certainly held true tonight for me and certainly for the listeners. Thanks again, Mr. Ricky Powell. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. We're learning an awful lot here. We're having fun. We have some great guests coming up as well, sharing their story. Get on over to iTunes, just search Tremendous Life Radio. You can take us with you everywhere you want to be. So thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, make it a great day.